Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld, help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worst scenario heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors. This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
high-quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello to all you something duckers out there. The CEO of Lysnica demanded I shoot a holiday video. We need to promote everyone get their Lysnica boosters every week. All you nimwits and rubes just keep taking it. But Mr. G, Globalist wants me to be nicer to you since this will be your last holiday season on Earth. By the way, we now have the suicide pods available for rental. Before you enjoy your last breath in a suicide pod, we need you scallywags to get tested for COVID. You must be completely up to date on your vaccine passport. Absolutely no exceptions. When you step into the suicide pod, we do not want you to catch COVID. You must also wear at least 5 scams on your face, with a minimum of 2 of your scams being an N95. After you take your final breath on Earth, we will give you another COVID test. Both before and after your trip to the suicide pod, you will be required to go through the TSI naked body scan. We need to make sure you're not hiding any ivermectin, Federal Reserve notes, or carbon inside your person. For all we know, you could be a something ducker that likes to hide Nuremberg code inside your junk. We need to keep you comfortable and safe. Also, please remember, when your person turns to ashes and dust, please do make sure you are still keeping with local social distancing guidelines. You must still keep your ashes 6 feet away from the previous customer. If you refuse to get in the suicide pod, we will take it to the local FEMA camp. That is all on have a holiday season.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we'll have Amanda joining us here in just a moment. We do have a couple of guests tonight. Later on in the show, we do have a special treat, which I'll save for later. But Amanda has a guest tonight as well named Lance, and she is here to tell you all about him. So, Amanda, welcome in.
Thank you, Proof. And I'm excited to hear from our guest this the last, or we're doing the second hour, right? So the first hour, we get to hear from Lance Murphy, and I'm super excited that he was willing to be interviewed tonight because I don't have the opportunity of meeting very many what I call conspiracy specialists. And yes, I may have made that term up, but I think it's very fitting as we listen to the different things that Lance has been interested in and researching. And so I am very excited to hear what he's going to share with us tonight. And what I do know about Lance is that he's got an amazing wife, of course. That's how I met him, through his wife. And they live pretty close to us. I get to see them often. And I was very impressed with his level of knowledge. I also learned that he is a filmmaker, and I don't think I actually knew that. So I'm going to bring Lance on, and I'm going to let him fill us in on what he's doing as far as filmmaking, and then give us some information on what he's been researching. Lance, are you there?
I don't know if you have the switchboard up. I was leaving that for you if you have it up. If not, I could bring him in.
Nope, you're there. I got him. We're
okay.
Good. Hey, Lance, how's it going?
Hello. I'm pretty good. How are
Welcome.
Y'all?
Welcome. You know, we're getting rain again, so really not a lot to complain about, right? We live in the desert. We don't get a ton of rain, so this is a great monsoon season.
Yeah, it's keeping the temperature down, that's for sure.
Yes. And I'll take it, you know. I don't have to water my plants as often. I actually didn't realize we got so much rain at one time, and my rosemary did not survive. It drowned. So got to replant my rosemary. But other than that, you know, welcome to the rain. So tell us about yourself and how you got into filmmaking and what your current line of research has been.
Let's see, filmmaking, when I met my wife, she was participating in these local competitions. We were in the Texas area at the time, and I always kind of wanted to do it, so I luckily got on her team, which is a really hard team to get on, I found out later, but her brother, a pretty amazing filmmaker, became my mentor, and I've been kind of hooked ever since, Yeah, as far as what I'm researching, I'm kind of always in some form of research, unless I'm taking a break just to kind of find zero again or find a balance. Lately, I guess the last thing that I had jumped into is a history reset conspiracy theory, and that was pretty interesting. We can dive into anything you want. Yeah, that's
oh,
the latest one.
Yes, I'm so interested in that. I know what I feel like I know what you're referring to, but I definitely want to hear about what you have found and how deep this rabbit hole goes. Because from what I understand, it's a pretty intense, deep rabbit hole. So what have you learned? Where has this led you?
Yeah, it's I mean, luckily we've got some people out there that do a lot of the books digging and stuff. So I lean on them. I don't go to the library much because everything's so accessible now. But basically, I guess the short version is somewhere in the 1700s or either late 1700s or early 1800s that there was apparently some sort of war, that there are some pictures online that they've associated with, I guess, some aftermath of that war. And then the powers that be, I guess probably the Illuminati or something, right, decided to reset the history. I bumped into it because somebody was showing ancient buildings, or what we consider, not ancient, but kind of recent history buildings, but older, like the White House and such. It had very interesting designs to them. They had, like, for instance, the columns that you see, like decorative columns outside of a building, architecturally are usually not very, like, the shape and the fanciness of that column is not part of what keeps the structure up, you know? And they were finding that when they unearthed, like, there's pictures of them unearthing the White House, and it's got these fancy column, decorative column type things that were buried underground. So the idea, I guess, where it kind of started going was that there was, you know, these buildings were here already, and we just took off, you know, just kind of started occupying them. Of course, that didn't make much sense. Like, you know, I mean, we've got pretty good record keeping now. So the more I dug, the deeper the rabbit hole went. And I guess the thing that kind of, I guess, made it, you know, possible. Yeah. Cause at this point it's like, I know that if you remove somebody from a place for long enough and then you come back, you could tell some newbie anything you want, you know. I could tell you that St. George was visited by Constantinople, you know, or you know, or used to be called Constantinople. If I wanted to, and if you knew nothing about St. George, you'd know no different. But there was an obsession in the early 50s, I guess, or right around, or not the 50s, but kind of around the 30s, 50s. I don't know if you saw it, but I remember, it seems like every movie had something to do with an orphan. Do you recall all those, like, movies and plays?
Yes.
They're all orphans. There's Annie, there's, you know, just even random stuff like, I mean, there was an orphan feel to even Mary Poppins and stuff, right? So,
yeah.
Orphans were, like, a really big deal for a while. And I didn't really put it together, you know, because trends are kind of trends, and that happens. But it actually ties into this theory a little bit, because the method that they're claiming they used to reset history was by moving orphans into these places and then just telling, you know, letting them grow up hearing a different story. Like, well, how'd you get all the adults to go along with it? Well, there weren't any adults there. And actually there's picture proof of it. Or at least picture strong proof, I guess you could say. There's pictures of these large cities that were supposed to have, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 people in them. You know, cities in Russia, you can find them online, and they it's a picture taken in, like, you know, early 1800s or whenever the camera first came out. The dates all mixed together with me, but these kind of cameras are not the kind of cameras we deal with today. You had to have, you know, proper lighting, natural lighting, and it, you know, you had to leave it exposed for a certain amount of time. I mean, it was kind of a pain to take a picture. But they've got pictures with these huge cities, and there's nobody out, not a single person. And so the question is, did they ask everybody in that city to stay indoors for while they took this picture?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the,
yes.
I guess, you know, when I find a real hook into where it's really makes it possible, you know, it was interesting to read all the theories, but until it actually finds, you know, like, roots itself where you can actually start seeing, I guess, the trail of the conspiracy, I tend to not get too excited about them. And then, of course, usually when I find that trail, then I feel crazy for a few days. and and then try to work my way through that until. But at this stage, I haven't, you know, been able to dive too deep into it. But the history reset really caught my attention because, you know, that methodology of doing that, if they have pulled that off once, then they could have pulled it off multiple times, which just completely destroys anything that's written down, you know, at least past what you can verify with your ancestors. But yeah, so that one has my attention right now just because it kind of puts literature on the line as far as trustworthiness.
Yes, good point. And I do believe I have researched the same topic a bit myself. And these big, elaborate cathedrals that are supposedly built with, you know, hammer and chisel and nails, and when you look at them, it is fine precision, almost as though it's laser. It seems to me like they had some sort of technology that we are not being told about, we're not aware of, that's been hidden. And you mentioned those pictures with nobody around. When you do see people, it's like the streets are mud. You have these huge elaborate buildings that are beautiful and the streets are mud. It just, I understand what you mean. It feels like there's something being hidden.
Yeah, no, in fact, that was some of the early research that kind of brought me into it was those buildings. Originally I came from the megalithic structure side, kind of biblical, you know, side of things, or, you know, the Machu Picchu and there's a whole bunch of them with the funny names, but it's just like, okay, it's pretty clear that I don't think that the humans of that time could have moved that stuff around, at least not with the technology we're told that they have. But I never really considered some of the old buildings that we look at and say, oh yeah, that was built in 1653, you know, or 1400 or whatever. It wasn't until I was watching some of these videos that they actually started expanding on the design of them. So when you mentioned the precision, that kind of reminded me that there's somewhat of a electrical design to these things. You've probably heard, most people have heard the theory that the pyramid was actually a battery source. But apparently all of these buildings, there's quite a few videos out there where people go through and walk you through these various designs of the buildings. And if you look at them from kind of above and look at how they're arranged, they propose that certain pieces of it act like a capacitor and various other electrical talk that I'm not qualified to speak to.
But they're obviously channeling some kind of energy when you look at it that way, as a battery or as some kind of perhaps an antenna or a cathode. Is that what you call that, a cathode on a battery? Am I saying the right word?
Yeah.
Cathode. Okay.
Yeah, I think cathode was definitely one of the electrical terms they used.
Right. And so, I mean, I do feel like I've read there are theories that perhaps they were able to pull energy from the ether, from just, I guess you'd call it just from the atmosphere. And that's the reason they had all of this technology and ability to do things that today we can't pull that off with all of our high-tech technology, with our computers and lasers. We can't seem to pull off the same level of building and structure that they did. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, we walk by those buildings, we see them in pictures, we don't give it a second thought. We're just like, oh, of course they built this big post office. These buildings that are used as, they're like three levels and they're a post office. You're like, sure. But
yeah, no, it's I guess that's one of the things is it gets kind of, that the deeper you've gone into the conspiracy theory world, whether you believe them or not, at some point you just kind of start questioning everything. And mm-hmm. and so my biggest frustration as of late has just been, it's not related to any specific conspiracy theory. There's kind of multiple that fall into it, but it's been the just astronomy in general. I was a real big Star Trek, Star Wars fan. I mean, you know, I would have loved to have been an astronaut at one point, you know, all that good stuff. So, but you know, I went into some pretty high math and physics classes. So I've got a pretty decent background in kind of how math works. And what I started noticing was that the further in math you got, the more you started seeing a theory behind some of it. And what I found was that you could be working your own equation, and you'd be filling out like 6 sheets of paper trying to figure this equation out. And at the end, you'd be wrong because you made a bad assumption. And so if your assumptions and some of the constants that you're using, and if you choose the wrong set of formulas, you can easily look and prove your answer correct, but you're not right. And that caught my attention at kind of end of college. And so I kind of dove as deep as I could understand into many of those kind of astronomical type experiences. So my favorite one to talk that is kind of easier to talk about is usually planets that are not in our solar system. The way that they detect those is by watching a star and waiting for it to blink, basically. And then they got to wait and see if they can time those blinks, right? Everybody sees these pictures, but they'll say they're artist renditions. Like NASA has a whole team of artists that'll make pretty pictures. And so they think we saw that planet. No, we just detected it. And it's a little more detailed than watching it blink. They're watching frequencies through infrared, you know, telescopes and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, they don't. You know, they're making the best guess they can with the assumptions that are already kind of built into astronomy. And the one that caught my eye the other day was an article that said that they had detected rogue planets floating through, you know, the universe. And if you know how they detect planets, then it makes that the ability to detect a rogue planet that doesn't circle a single star. It just starts to sound like science fiction as a news article.
mm-hmm. Right? And that's the reason they use CGI to show us what they assume that these planets might look like. But they don't really tell you that they're just giving you an artist rendition. You have to actually understand that whole process. So do you feel like when you were in college and you had learned this part of astronomy, not to be confused with astrology, do you feel like that set you off on a path to learn more, and thus you started having to read outside of the standard curriculum?
Yeah, I'd say that there's always a trigger point. My distrust with astronomy came after some other events that I started looking into. So it's almost like you kind of have to have a reason to not trust somebody, when actually we should probably be thinking the other way around. But for the most part, college didn't necessarily trigger that. It was more like something that I looked back on. Like, oh, yeah, I remember when I did that whole equation thinking I was right, and then the professor showed me that I used the wrong assumption here. And, man, that would be incredibly easy to do in some of these astronomical kind of theories. But yeah, specifically the thing that made me start distrusting, I guess you could say NASA first, astronomy second, was when I came across, you know, that we didn't go to the moon theory, right? And like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a Star Trek fan. Are you kidding me? Crazy people think that we didn't go to the moon, you know? And so I started digging and digging and digging, and I just could not believe the overwhelming amount of evidence that's out there to support not going to the moon. And so, you know, I tend to not, like, actually say I believe in something unless I can prove it, because I feel like I'd be just as bad as as the opposite side. But I know for a fact, and anybody who's listening to this going, oh, great, now they're talking about we didn't go to the moon, they can look up videos of NASA's space station. And the videos that they do on there, there have been people that have curated those videos and found where people are floating by on wires, reaching for objects that aren't there. They have weird-looking eyes that have been associated with, like, the reptilian theory. But the science behind what those might be, or the scientific possibility of it, is they're saying that they're wearing contact lenses, you know, that are basically like an augmented reality so that they can see what's being presented in front of them. And that's what's making their eyes look funny. But, I mean, wow. These are all just kind of guesses as to why they would be reaching for nothing. But the real question is, why are they reaching for nothing? You know, why did that guy reach over and grab what looked like a cable wire and move that guy back into place? And if we really can go into space, what would be the point of needing all of that stuff? You know, is it just too expensive for them to go, and so they just pretend like they're there? I can't
right.
say, though,
and
I think every conspiracy theorist should test these things if you can. And I can say that you can time the space station, what they've labeled as a space station, and catch it going across at least the sun. And I know people have done it for the moon, too. And I have done that. And I've got video of an object that has a remarkably similar shadow shape going across the sun. So there's definitely things floating around out there that we're tracking. Whether people are on it or not, I can't prove that. That wasn't in my telescope when I looked at it.
I couldn't see inside. Well, you were able to track it. So that's really fascinating. And do you find that you've already made the comparison and the connection between a couple of different what we call theories, the conspiracy theories. Do you find that as you learn more about these conspiracy theories, that you have actually been able to get to the point where you look at them as conspiracy facts rather than theories?
Yeah, so I dove down the flat earth one, and that's the one that if you want to make the sweetest 80-year-old grandma on the planet, if you want to make her really mad really quick, start talking about how the Earth is flat. I found it incredibly interesting how provocative that was. Because even when I first heard it and thought, oh, my gosh, now we're really getting crazy, I still wasn't mad about it. It made me curious. But I find that people get mad when you try to tell them that the Earth is flat. And so, I can't call that one fact because there's only one way to test it, and now technology has gotten to the point where I'm not even sure that we could do that anymore because they could fake us out. But I do know that, you know, optics are pretty finite. You've got a lot of things that can influence the way you see or the equipment you're using to see with, but you know, optics is what they originally made their curvature assumptions with anyway, or tried to prove it with. If you've all heard about the boat going over the curve of the Earth. The truth is that there's all sorts of refraction properties that happen when you have a lot of atmosphere or air between you that can make that happen. But that still doesn't prove that it's flat or not. But it does. They came out with, now that we have infrared cameras, an interesting anomaly has happened. That boat that we thought just went over the horizon, they can turn on the infrared part of the camera and it immediately comes back into view because infrared can see through the haze of air in a way that we can't with normal optics. So then they started pointing these cameras further and further away. And if you know what the assumed curve of the Earth is and you use that to kind of anticipate when something should disappear over the curve, they have little tools and calculators out there, curvature calculators. They'll tell you that if you are this high off the ground and you're looking straight ahead, that you know, as if you're looking at something that's 20 miles away, you're only going to see so much of it, and it'll give you that calculation. And usually those tests before infrared cameras came out, we were all trying to look about 20, 30 miles. It's about as much as you could see through all the air, because air has, you know, molecules in it or whatever those are. Who knows what they are, because we don't know anything that they're telling us anymore. But when when you turn on the infrared, they could see through it. And there's some people out there that have documented 120 to, I think it was 150 miles. And the curve, when you get to 120 and 50, 150 miles, is more than the heights of mountains. So the thing, what I can say is conspiracy fact in my world is, at very minimum, the Earth as we know it has a radius much larger than what they're telling us. So that's the one conspiracy, maybe one of maybe a few conspiracy facts that I think I've kind of arrived at in my studies.
That makes sense. I think that is, I guess, a bonus of being in the age of information, the information age that we're in today. There's so much information at our fingertips. Not all of it is truthful. A lot of it's just propaganda, or it's a way to convince people and thinking one way or another, or to give them little hits in a certain direction. And so being able to sort through everything that you find that is actually viable information must be a full-time job. It must be a lot of work. Do you find that at this point you've narrowed down your good sources where you can rely on certain information, knowing that it's probably more reliable, more factual?
I do have kind of a few, and that's kind of, you know, when you first land on a source like that, boy, you can just watch endless YouTubes or whatever they've put out there and hours of content, and then listen to their podcasts or whatever. The reason I'm kind of in like a little bit of a lull is because I wasn't getting any new material from my group. So like if I handed it out to somebody, I'm sure that they would have hours or, you know, weeks of entertainment in trying to pick up all of it. But eventually it feels like with that there was some sort of knowledge explosion that happened. I think kind of 2012 and 2015-ish seems to be when all of this information really started surfacing. And then it kind of stopped. Like, to some degree, the flow of new evidence has, you know, kind of, even when I pick up a new, you know, even, I guess, some of the history reset stuff and mountains are trees theory, I kind of ran into that pretty recently in the last couple of years. But the material that I was watching was coming from, you know, 2015. And so there's not a whole lot of new stuff coming out, which makes it a little difficult because, like you said, it does take a little bit to find people that you can, you know, trust their research in art. Not because they think, I don't think everybody's trying to lie, but sometimes people just do bad research, you know?
that's very true.
There's about
a half dozen
of them or so.
Okay. Awesome. We have a caller. I'm going to bring that caller on, and we're going to get a few questions and let them be part of this awesome conversation. I feel like I'm going to learn so much from you. I'm really excited to hear more. So I'm going to bring this caller on. See if it'll pull up. Welcome, caller. You're on with Lance and me. How are you tonight? Are you there? Well, I'm going to put you back on.
They heard flat earth and they ran the other way.
That's very possible. And it could very well be that, sometimes when you get onto the switchboard on the computer, you're not really sure which button to push, so it might be that. that is a very controversial topic. What you started out with has been, I guess, more in the community, the conspiracy community, as we might lovingly call it, And I've been watching some videos from a man named John Levi. Are you familiar with his YouTube channel?
Not by name, no.
Okay. He actually lives in Utah. He's in northern Utah somewhere. He doesn't say where, but northern Utah somewhere. And he has gone around to different areas, especially in Utah, but also he'll get on the internet and find Whoop, that was weird.
Go ahead.
You
Sorry.
There? Okay.
Yeah, something. It was YouTube. I was pulling it up.
Oh, got it. Yes, so, if you can find these different buildings, you'll usually, the ones that you were referring to early with the nice structure, they've got the columns you were mentioning, they've had to dig down. Often you'll see that almost like there's a line toward the bottom where they've dug it out, and then there will be windows and doors underground, and there's no reasoning for it, like you're not told why. And so John Levi has gone around to different places and also just pulling up pictures on the internet to show that this is an example you'll find in almost every area of the world. And that there was some sort of what he calls a mud flood. Is that similar to what you've been referring to?
Yes. No, yeah, they've been explained as mud floods, and I guess is the main theory on how they got buried.
Right. And would you say that's related to, because initially you mentioned there was a war. Is that related to the war? Do you feel like there was something that happened with a civilization that was, of course, high-tech? There was a war, and they were, killed off or pushed somewhere else? Or, I mean, what's your thought on that? Where are we at with that conspiracy?
Yeah, I mean, if I were guessing, if you have an abandoned city for a while and, yeah, river floods over or something, nobody moves out the mud out of the way for a couple decades or something, then, yeah, you could have, you know, not maybe one single mud flood, but maybe it was kind of multiple. Or maybe they did something so catastrophic that it caused the tsunami. There's kind of endless possibilities, but they definitely seem to be related, right? Is, you know, we reoccupied these buildings, and in some cases, like what you're talking, maybe Levi is one of the videos I've watched now that I'm kind of seeing what he's got on his pictures there. But, at one point, I think people didn't seem to know that it existed. I remember there was a church, and they had to do some renovation, like foundational type renovation, and when they dug down, they found that it had a whole other layer that nobody even knew existed. Right? So it's like, How did that happen?
Yep. Yeah. How did that happen, and why? Why? It's very fascinating. You had mentioned that also that there was this stall or a decline in the information that was being released around 2015. And one of the theories I've been delving into more lately is the Mandela effect. I've known about it for a while, but it hasn't really piqued my interest until probably the last 3 months or so, and the talk of CERN and activating this particle manipulator. And there was some talk that perhaps when they had triggered this device, that's what opened up some information and actually changed the way that history is now viewed by those of us here in this current situation. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. In fact, I saw a post by you on Facebook today about it. Yeah, I think I'm one of the ones that remembers South America being right below the United States.
Right.
At least in the picture.
Yes. Yes. And that was somebody had done a picture of their own recollection. So it's not something you'll go onto the internet and find. You actually have to go off your own memory of what we remember as children. I'm 50 years old, and I remember that being more underneath, South America being more underneath the North America, of course. So that meant that the Panama Canal was more east and west, but now it goes more north and south thanks to this new situation. And it's hard to wrap your mind around stuff like that when you had mentioned, what is the shape of the earth? What is this technology that we need, or that the old technology that we're allowed to use, so that it keeps us in a state of not really understanding or a little bit of confusion and keeping us in a state of darkness and confusion? Do you think that that's partly what's happening? They're trying to keep us oppressed and confused?
Yeah, I think that the truth is that in general, what I've seen is it's more than just being lied to about, you know, who built the building. They've been kind of removing the paranormal or the spiritual side of things for quite some time. But yet, if you watch certain things, some weird things, I don't know if you've seen the Gothard Tunnel ceremonies that they did when they have that tunnel. If you look it up, Gothard Tunnel, I think it's Gothard. They had this ceremony that is the most, it's the weirdest ceremony. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with a tunnel or whatever that achievement was. It was just very demonic and, very Illuminati feeling, lots of allegories and metaphors built into their costumes and what they were doing. It's for anybody who has not seen it, they should. And think about it this way. This is a construction project that they're celebrating, right? And this is how they chose to celebrate it. And the truth is that the less connected we are with our spiritual or paranormal, the paranormal world that's out there, then the less we will, wonder about what they're doing. For instance, if you think that somebody could conjure something by doing a dance around fire, then anytime somebody's mumbling weird words and dancing around a fire, you're going to be like, wait, what's that person trying to do? Although that could be dangerous, you know. But if you don't believe in any of that stuff, then you go, what that crazy fool's over there dancing, or what wonderful art they are doing over there, right? So I feel like it's kind of like push us, not necessarily into total oblivion, give us enough that we can chew on some iPhones that are cool and make us feel like we're smart and technological, but dumb down our spiritual and paranormal senses so that they can do all of these things and trigger who knows what. By the way, that happened right around 2016, which seems to be when when a lot of the information stopped flooding out. So maybe they closed the gap. I don't know. Maybe that's what that was.
Now I'm definitely going to research that. I'm surprised I haven't come across it. And thank you. I knew I'd get some little tidbit of gold from you, and that's definitely going to be on my list to research. And so do you notice now with this little tidbits of information coming out and being able to tie them together? You had mentioned that the video of the quote-unquote astronauts having weird eyes, perhaps they're wearing some sort of eyewear or contacts, and so we're making these connections between the Illuminati and the lizard people, however you want to call them, and CERN and these demonic practices that, even though they might not seem like they're related, they're actually very much interconnected. And at this point, it's up to us to figure out a way to keep our connection to divine, our higher self, to God, to keep that spiritual portal open within ourselves. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think the biggest, to me, it's anytime somebody gets abnormally offended, that's where a conspiracy theory really starts to root in with me. Like I mentioned, a sweet old lady about flat earth, they can turn on you like a rabid dog sometimes. And like, what would trigger that? That's, you know, that it's when somebody has been fooled to that level, they can't stand it, right? And I think to some degree we've all been fooled when it comes to our connection with that divine, right? They have us at war with each other over you know, religions. They've got us completely distracted from any unifying purpose of kind of spiritualism in general. And that's exactly where I would want a group of people if they could, you know, if they may have their own internal abilities to change things and make things the way they want them, then I wouldn't want them to know about it. So,
right.
But yeah, you have to hide a lie between two truths, right? So they're always finding this perfect little web of two truths and a lie.
Oh, I like that. Two truths and a lie. So it just fits in there nicely. Not even really sure what happened. Very fascinating. Now, have you used your filmmaking abilities to put some truth out there for the general public?
Yeah, we had one film that was going to put out, but we ran out of time when we were filming for a competition, so we had to switch gears. The most recent one that we put out was based on a true story, and when people watch it, they won't believe that it's based on a true story, unless you're in that world where you go, oh my gosh, you know. They're aimed at kind of these short film competitions as of late, but it's difficult to get a lot of material in a 6-minute little spot. But all of my kind of movie and script ideas here that are stacking up, almost every one of them kind of relate or have spawned out of the conspiracy theory world. And in fact, I mean, some of the most entertaining movies are the government covering something up and a hero has to come save the day, right? So the more I find out,
right,
the more material I have.
Uh-huh, right. And it's funny how that's just, it shows up in the movie so often. I actually had heard from someone who was very prominent in a recent documentary. Actually, he's produced several documentaries, but they're about the 1984 Act, when President Reagan signed into effect that all vaccine manufacturers would be protected against being sued, or they're not held liable for any injuries that their product actually creates. And so he had developed several films, one of those being about the 1984 Act, and he had made an observation that in the information age today, it's almost the only way to get people to be aware, to be educated, to even want to understand this information through film. And because we are such highly reactive and so emotional, just people in general, humans, that a film with some dramatic music and some, you know, important scenes and great acting or great scenery will evoke that within us, that desire to either learn more or to actually be inspired of some kind. Would you agree that's true?
I do, yeah. It's film is a very powerful motivator. And we can use it, you know, to spread, you know, at least open up people's eyes to the possibilities of these conspiracy theories. They don't have to believe in every one of them, and every one of them probably isn't true. But there's something out there, and the other side is definitely using film and just media in general to do the opposite. So, and they're winning,
exactly.
At least at this juncture.
Yep, exactly. Well, that is so fascinating. I'm just going to remind any of our listeners, if you would like to ask Clance any questions, we've got about 5 minutes. Please press 1, and I will see that you have a question or you'd like to comment, or maybe you just like me and have your mind blown and want to jump on the computer and search this out for yourself. You had mentioned that you have some sources that you like, Lance, and is there anything that comes right off the top of your head that you could, besides the tunnel you had mentioned, any other place you'd like to point people to learn? more.
Yeah, let's see. I had some written down here. There's one that's out there that really intrigued me. I'll open it with there are many old maps that people who, you know, drew early kind of North Pole stuff, and they drew these like four islands with a mountain in the middle at the North Pole on every one of these. Or not every map, but, you know, the maps that were in that area. It was an interesting kind of similarity between them. I can't remember the names of the maps, but if you start looking some of that stuff up, it'll pop up. And those maps, you know, kind of similar to what you were talking about with the Mandela effect and South America being right below. So this theory kind of lines up with it. It's called NORB theory, N-O-R-B. And it's a little difficult to explain, but the general principle of it is that there's something in the very center, of Earth. Sorry, if you imagine it on more of a planal, you know, flat plane type thing, but it could easily be a big globe too. But if you have that center North Pole, and the land just kind of keeps pushing out, until a new birth happens in the center again, and then the lands are somewhat divided by large bodies of water or something, and then the next mass starts growing out of that center. And so it's an interesting theory because that means that the version that we're in right now happens to be kind of in the center of things, but other life forms exist in the outer boundaries. It's probably, and it lines up with what you're saying, because maybe the shape is actually, like the continents themselves are actually shifting a little bit. It kind of opens the possibility for things to be changing maybe a little quicker than billions and billions of years. Still wouldn't be happening overnight. But yeah, it's probably one of the crazier theories. It was one of the ones that when I bumped into, I had to take a break for a couple weeks. But when I started looking deeper into it, it really was an interesting idea that even ties some of the kind of planetary stuff. That's probably a really good one to look at. And if you don't want to go down total crazy, there's another one out there that is and it's called Alien Sky is the way you look it up. And it's basically takes the idea that the planets at one point were a lot closer, and it relates it to archaeological finds that they have all over the world of these, you know, primitive peoples that are scratching things in cave walls, but they all scratch these very similar designs into these cave walls despite the fact that they're continents apart. And so they started
exactly
relating that to what
about.
That could be in the sky. Yeah. That's probably a little
yes.
crazy version. If you absorb that one and you want more, then go for NORB theory. It'll blow your mind.
NORB, okay. Yeah, so that's the Thunderbolt project for Alien Sky, and that's where my awakening happened as far as large-scale conspiracies. I always sort of knew there were the, like, 9/11 and those types of things, but I had never looked at this whole, like, historical issue that came from the entire world being involved, and it was the Thunderbolts project in Alien Sky that really opened my eyes. But I had not heard of NORB theory, so I am going to look that one up tonight. So
yeah, in fact, Thunderbolts is actually one of the few that I still get new material from. They have a really good YouTube presence, and they're really scientific about their stuff. And so if anybody really, you know, wants to be rooted in science, Thunderbolts is an amazing project that's going on.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It explains a lot. Like you said, these cave drawings all over the world, they all match. The one where it looks like there's a man standing with his arms raised and his legs spread but no head, that is very fascinating, where you can find that everywhere. It's Yes, thank you for mentioning that. Anything else before we close up our time with you, Lance?
No, it's related to the electric universe stuff.
Yes.
I always like people to be aware of electric universe because the electric universe theory, and this is not conspiracy theory, this is another science theory out there that it's not getting too much press because it's a paradigm shift. But this is not conspiracy theory. This is a bunch of people with you know, calculators and stuff doing stuff, right? People seem to like that better sometimes. So the electric universe theory stuff says that gravity is not the majority force in the universe. It says that electricity is, magnetism, right, that kind of thing. And it really dives deep into some of those videos are way over my head, but sometimes they give you little nuggets of information that really bring you back ground to zero. But the best thing is when they actually compare them, their findings. There's some older scientists that were basically kicked out of their communities that I can't remember, his name starts with a V, Velofsky or something like that. And
yeah,
he made some early predictions about Venus. Yeah, Velikovsky, yeah. And he made some early predictions about Venus, what asteroids were, or I'm sorry, what comets were. And they have applied those to what that would do in some of these experiments that NASA has done. And in many cases, the scientists have been surprised by the experiments they did with these planets or objects in our universe. But they fell right into exactly what Velikovsky predicted based on an electric universe. So, yeah, that's – I'd probably close with that because we went some – there's some crazy things that when people start looking it up, they're going to be like, who did you have on there? But that a very, like, what do you call it, contained and well thought out and science-based semi-conspiracy theory, you could say.
Yes, a great place to start, as I did. It's incredible information, and it makes so much sense. Emmanuel Velikovsky is his name. You can still find his books on Amazon, if I believe so. He definitely was not respected in the scientific community at the time because his theories were, it's all catastrophism, and the scientists of the time were more about, you know, just the whole slow process of water erosion, and he was more into that. We had big catastrophes, so it's definitely worth looking into. And Lance, do you have a website that we can go to find more about your films or just to keep in touch and contact with you?
The films are all at teamschmurphy.com, and that's teamschmurphy.com. And there's ways to contact me there too. That's probably a good centralized spot if you want to watch some entertaining short films. There's four of them posted there, and all of our future stuff will be there. Team Schmurphy is also an Instagram and Facebook presence.
Oh, excellent. Yes, it's always helpful to have social media presence so we can draw some of the younger folk in. And I sure appreciate you being open and your candor tonight and giving me some education. That's where it's at. I sure do love what you're doing, and the education through the film and just being willing to do this research and share it with others. So I appreciate you coming on tonight and hope to talk to you again sometime.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Anytime.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go. And if you have any more questions for Lance, go ahead and send us a message, or you can find him on social media. Thanks, Lance.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to have a break here at the top of the hour. Proof, are you available?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, awesome.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news, and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State, and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie?
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Wisenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Wisenica Freedom microchip. SNSHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their freedom microchip. I jumped on the Wisenica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting the gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Wisenica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Wisenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Hello everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
When the enemy comes into your life like a flood, stand your ground. And take your sword out in Luke 10 and go eyeball to eyeball with him and tell him, I have been given the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Stand your ground. When he tries to use one of his main tactics, which is fear, tell him, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stand your ground. When he thinks you're down, tell him, I'm not down, Satan. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stand your ground. When he tells you you're a loser, tell him I am the head and not the tail. When the enemy comes after you, tell him Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stand your ground. When he whispers in your ear and tells you you can't do this, throw Philippians 4:13 to him. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand your ground.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Special guest in about 30 minutes or so. About 45 minutes actually. So Amanda, you have any news or anything you wanted to go over before I get started?
Oh, no. I actually have been reading some of what you've been posting on Facebook, so I was really looking forward to you touching on it because actually Lance had mentioned some of the places he goes to get news, trusted resources. You've become one of those for me. So I definitely appreciate everything you put on Facebook. It makes me go research it more deeply.
Well, I've been at this a long time, so I'm used to hearing that every so often.
Well, good.
So this isn't really a football story, but there's a guy that is considered a legend and a Hall of Famer in a couple of years. His name is Frank Gore. And he got arrested for beating up a woman in Atlantic City and dragged her out of her hotel room naked and beat her up.
Whoa, I had not heard that story.
Yeah, I posted that right before I went on my show.
I'm going to have to look that up. Was there some theory around, what made him snap? Is it just because?
Yeah, that was not shown in the article yet.
Okay. Wow, that's a little bit intense. Leave her for dead. I don't see it on here. Oh, there it is. Ex-NFL star dragged naked woman by her hair in Atlantic City Hotel and Casino. Wow. So, obviously a little bit of an anger situation. Is he in jail?
Yes.
Good.
I don't know if he's still in jail. Maybe he got bailed out by now, but he did spend some time in jail.
Yeah, it's hard to know because sometimes when they have any sort of celebrity status, you never know if they're going to actually do the time or if they're going to be let off the slap on the wrist. Yes, he's ex-football, but, once a star, always a star.
Yeah, but maybe I think that depends because if you're part of the 1%, you still are allowed certain privileges, but I don't know. If you're not friends with the 1%, just because you have money doesn't mean anything.
True.
You kind of have to be part of them.
Right. And that's how they keep themselves the 1%. They're the elitist of the elite.
Yes.
Makes sense.
So the IRS put up their job board for 87,000 employees.
Yeah, that was the one I was hoping you'd bring up because that was reading that job board sent chills down my spine, actually.
And they got so much press about it that they deleted the ad off their website.
Oh, really? I'm actually surprised about that. You think they would...
Yeah, they don't want people knowing that the IRS agents are going to be fully armed.
Right. And it was something about being able to, not only being armed, but be able to use force, right? Like physical force.
Yeah, so they
right?
would be allowed, they would in essence be viewed as the American Army.
Right. Right.
So that, having the IRS agents and the postal workers being fully armed and being able to do what they want against the American people, that frees up the American troops, because remember, they got rid of 28% of their troops for not taking gene therapies.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that frees up the real troops to go fight in Russia and China. So the United States is trying to fight three wars at once. They want to fight Russia, China, and the Americans at the same time.
Almost as though they're in on it with other countries to bring us to our knees.
Yes. This is exactly like Germany in 1939, where the Germany, they wanted to fight their population, and then they were fighting other nations at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
But they think they'll have a different result. They think they'll win this time.
Right. Well, we know what they're up to, don't we? They want to win, but it's only the elite of the elite who are going to win anything. You play stupid games, you get stupid prizes. And the American people are definitely willing to go, I shouldn't say all of them, but a majority are willing to go along with whatever looks like it's politically correct or what needs to happen to bring equality to all the people.
Yeah, but I just don't know that there's that many people in the United States that are wanting a civil war when they don't even know who the enemy is.
Mm-hmm. They think that their enemy is their next door neighbor, their relative. They don't realize who the true enemy is. We have to fight amongst each other, keep us busy fighting with each other all the time. And, of course, now other states or other cities and states are wanting to impose mask wearing again. And they're just, did you hear the new one, the new quote-unquote virus that's coming from shrews now? That's a new one.
The Langia virus or something like that?
Yeah. Yes, I couldn't even remember how to pronounce it, but yes. Now, before it was a bat. Now it's a monkey, and then it went to monkeys, and now it's shrews.
Yeah, they're finding stuff to blame, aren't they?
Uh-huh, right. It's such a shrew problem, people interacting with shrews all the time. Yes. Very, very dangerous stuff. And I'm sure that the symptoms will be cough and fever and body aches and malaise, fatigue, and did I say headache? Headaches. Maybe some nausea in there. But that'll be the new one for sure. That'll be deadly. And so between the, what do you call it, the money pox? Not monkeypox, moneypox.
Yeah, the moneypox.
New whatever.
The K is silent.
Right. And do you also call COVID convid? I feel like you do that as well, right?
COVIDs.
COVIDs. Oh, got it. Yeah, I call it convid. So there's that one, the fake thing, and then the moneypox fake thing, and now this new fake thing. So whatever the current thing is, scare people into lining up and shutting up about it.
So it sounds like you're not supporting the current thing.
I just can't even begin to bring myself to do such a thing. I can't support the current thing. I'm not against global citizens.
Oh, then we might have an IRS agent for you.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I mean, there's going to be 87,000 supposedly going after the rich. Uh-huh. That 1%, right. Right.
What are they going to do, have like 7,000 IRS agents for one billionaire?
That's kind of what it sounds like. But, you know, we're not good at math. That's why they use those magnanimous numbers, things that we cannot even visualize what that looks like. So you try to do the math on it. Like Lance was bringing up in his reference to being in college and using a certain set of standards and coming up with a wrong answer. I mean, I feel like that's what's happening now. People are coming up with wrong answers left and right, and they don't know where to look. Just know that they're supposed to be scared. And you should just do what daddy government says. And I see this link now. The IRS job page was removed after, let's see, IRS job page removed after alarming description of the special agent position got exposed. So it's a special agent. Yeah. A work a minimum of 50 hours per week, which may include irregular hours and be on call 24/7, including holidays and weekends. And you must maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job, carry a firearm, and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. Wow. Sounds like a
all that
IRS,
for an audit of a billionaire. That sounds legit.
Yes. Yeah, it seems pretty. I mean,
right, and they went out there today trying to tell people that the audits are not for those making less than $400,000.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're going to believe that.
Yeah. The IRS is becoming secret police. Wow, yeah. IRS hiring new special agents. It sounds very prestigious, no doubt. There will be... they'll be happy to bring in their AI, their robot, for that job.
Yes.
That'll do the trick.
All right, so let's get into a broccoli man here.
All right, I'll pull it up.
So this one was one of two that I made this weekend.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
I'm ready when you are. Oh, go ahead.
All right. So this one's called The Wiretap Coming Out. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Well. Look who thinks them is flying today. If it isn't that quintessential something like a run by a snitch.
Oh dear. Why are you all up in my business every single time I want to do something?
Ha ha, green dude. We are finally getting to look at your kumquats now, green dude. You must disrobe right this instant. We need to make sure you're not trying to smuggle any pipe bomb, any handguns, or any bottles of water on your person.
Don't worry, Wiretap. I will not go through the TSA naked body scanner. And I will have a professional do a pat-down so you are not getting involved.
Are you hard of hearing, green dude? I just explained to you that I will be handling those delicious kumquats to make sure you're not a domestic terrorist threat. Now, let me get my tape measure so I can measure out that junk.
No, thank you. Do you really think I am going to let a complete pervert who I have arrested for being a child predator handle my junk?
Yes, sir. You will be allowing me to handle those kumquats, sir. Now I am commanding those dungarees to be displaced from that person right this instant. And you need to put the bloody scam on that face. If you like, I will also disrobe with you. You can rub your hands all over my own personal kumquat so you can verify I am not a terrorist, sir.
You are not the boss of me, wiretap. Now step aside so I can have that gentleman right there help me get on my plane.
Sir, I am your father figure.
Do what?
I will be your father figure. Put your tiny hand in mine. I'll be your daddy. I will be the one who loves you. Till the end of time.
You can take your George Michael lyrics and shove it up your...
Hey Biznich, you might think you bees is a chameleon today, sir. We're getting the last laugh, you dolt. We just hired 75,000 IRS agents to do audits of anyone that voted for Brandon or any third-party candidates. We are finna shut down every small business in this country, green dude. And we will be placing hundreds of millions of you pieces of excrement that said even one thing bad about Brandon. We will have your audits monitored by 3 IRS agents. If one of those 3 auditors has a different number than the others, we will be taking you right away to that FEMA camp. That does not exist. Does your person comprehend the syllables coming out of my vocal cords, green dude? We is fin una kadunky dunk dunk. In your face. I mean, in that bloody scam that you need to get on that face. You and Alex Jones are patient zero, sir.
Hey, that's great. Okay, I have to go get on my airplane right now without your globalists harassing me. Now get behind me, Satan.
That tears it green, dude. You are busy something ducker for real. You are not going on your airplane, sir. We will be busy having you parade down Broadway with a shotgun in your back for a drag queen story time right away. We are going to march you right down the parade like that really tall guy in that Volkswagen walk Nelson Muntz in the parade on that Simpsons episode. With those pantaloons and those underoos around your ankles. We are not monsters, sir. We will allow you to keep any dollar bills that find their ways into your buttocks.
Okay, so you are telling me I have to cancel my flight so I can arrest you and everyone that is grooming children?
That is it, green dude. You keep stepping in it. You are now banned from sharing anything negative about a pedophile parade, sir. You are offending every single person that is attracted to minors and acting upon their impulses. If I wanted to have a boy's peanut butter inside my chocolate, then Officer Reese says it is now my legal right to not be exposed. The only things being exposed are kumquats. Now I am hereby directing you to show me your naked epidermis right now or I can add on more charges right now. You have offended me for trying to say something negative about my LGBTQPIP+ rights.
Parents will not put up with this.
Parents will put up with this, sir. If the child complains about what we do to these children, or a parent complains, them will be placed in a re-education camp so we can run a crime syndicate. We are making this LGBT a one world religion. You need to learn how to not be blasphemous against the trans community. Only if you are LGBT+ and allow us to have our freedom to groom children, enjoy our cannibalism, and bask in our wonderful world of extreme communism. You are a buzzkill of Biznich, and a something ducker for real. When we shut down this global economy, you will be getting your microchip and we will be giving you 2 choices, sir.
Like I care about your 2 choices.
Yes, sir. You will either live under the tyranny that the likes of this earth has never seen, or you can save yourself and marry me, green dude. If we can get you on our side, then we can help Klaus Schwab get those 99% nincompoops who eats bugs so we can fix climate change. We need to kill all the cows and ban people from eating beef, and get everyone to eat people. I myself prefer human dark meat, sir.
Hey everyone. If we do not stand up and fight for our freedom, we will have the worst tyranny that Earth has ever seen. These globalists want to roll out exactly what is in Revelation 16 in the Bible right now. Please, get right with God. Also, you need to get educated with shows like the Proof Negative Radio Show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and a ton of information you need to stay a step ahead of these globalists. Do not go to the FEMA camp and get a microchip to live. Listen to Proof Negative on freedomizerradio.com.
Thou shall not be telling everyone to freedomize to the freedomists, sir. Now is the time for me to finally get to grapple with some delicious kumquats. Once we get gangster freedom-minded thugs like Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, Proof Negative, and that green dude in those FEMA camps that do not exist, we are coming for you.
All right, that was an episode.
I'm never going to look at kumquats the same again. Just saying.
All right,
every
we've
time
got one
says
more.
Delicious
we
kumquats,
got the other
look.
One that I made this week, and then we're going to squeeze Bianchi in here before our guest comes on.
Great. I'm ready.
You're ready? Okay. So this one is the factor representing misinformation, so we'll get this one done right now, too. All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Stop right there, Broccoli's talk. You are now in social media jail. You said many different things that are offensive to the trans community, the Democrat community, and straight out misinformation. You stated that MoneyFox is 99.9% from men that have had sex with each other. That is very offensive to those that are LGBTQPIAP+ and the other 1,300 genders.
How are you upset about medical facts that have come out?
See? That's what I mean. You act like your ash does not stink. You don't even know why you are offensive.
Are you saying you are offended that women are not getting money pox?
You sick monster. How dare you say that word? That is the most offensive word in the trans community. You such a cisgendered cesspool of misinformation and lies. I need to take you to that FEMA camp right now. But unfortunately, FEMA camps do not exist.
Please explain how saying the word woman is offensive.
Saying one gender over another proves superiority. We are all part of the human race. We should be treated as such.
Do you even know the definition of a woman?
No, I do not. That is an offensive term.
But aren't you a woman?
Yes. What is your point?
So, you are a woman, but you do not know the definition of a woman? How much Jim Jones Kool-Aid did you drink?
Why are you being so offensive? Just like when we took down your posts for providing misinformation about what a recession is. You are spreading too much information.
A recession is two straight quarters with negative growth in an economy.
See? Just because it is what you believe it is true does not it is true. That is completely false.
That was the definition even in the official dictionary up until July 1st, 2022.
But that is fake news. We had Wikipedia change the definition over 30 times in the last week of July in 2022.
So, what did you turn the definition of recession to now? What is a recession?
No one knows. But we do know that it is not two straight quarters. And that never ever was the definition. Why do you have to be such a cisgendered white right-wing extremist that is against drag queen story times with children?
I will never ever in my lifetime be in favor of naked men in public trying to get kids to play with their personal junk. I also will arrest anyone who has a criminal record of raping and abusing children. I do not care if they dress up in women's clothes, have their junk out, or wear makeup. I care that they are diddling young kids right out in the open and it is being accepted.
You are a hate monger. Of course we have to allow all of this now. Epstein's Island is no longer bringing in these children to their private resort. The 1% of the 1% have to get this children somehow. You exposing these minor attracted persons is offending the rich elite's plans. How do you think we need all that adrenochrome to keep them young? Gil Bates and Swordscores are not getting any younger.
I need to arrest you for aiding and abetting these crimes against humanity.
I am not eligible to be arrested. And gee, Libelist will just bail me out anyway. He's too big to jail. Plus he is way richer than any of us. His opinion is what matters most. We need to provide a way for G. Libelist to remove 99% of the Earth's population so he can rule it all.
How do you plan on doing that?
We need to take the guns away from all you filth bags that support MAGA. Then we can ban animals from being eaten. We'll support everyone eating the bugs and also eating lesser humans. Cannibalism will save the planet from our climate emergency. After we control the food supply and the guns, we can shut off the US dollar and provide a world currency where you will need a microchip to do anything at all. Once we get everyone microchipped, we will have lotteries daily to see who needs their microchip to be detonated and you die so you can help save our planet. That is how we go green and get to zero carbon. But all of what I just told you is only for us 1% people to say. If you say it, we ban you for spreading misinformation.
Well, the factor just explained to you what I have been saying for years. Now it is finally happening. The Book of Revelation chapters 13 through 20 are being played out right before our eyes. Get right with God. Also, listen to the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Come listen to Proof with great topics, excellent co-hosts, and guests that try and educate everyone to what the new liberal world order is doing. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live.
Okay, that is enough of offending all the trans, Democrat and minor attracted persons communities. We need to bring you to a stacked court and find you guilty before the trial just like we did Alex Jones. We are going to make this a wonderland for the 1% of the 1%.
All right, so that was the other episode this week, so hope it was okay. It was up to your standards.
Yeah, very good. Yes, up to my standards, yes. You mentioned Alex Jones in both of your skits. Have you heard what happened with that whole
why do you think I added it in there?
Yeah, okay. So what was the whole premise of that? He got sued because I didn't catch the whole thing.
Years ago he questioned whether or not Sandy Hook happened the way that they said it happened. So you have families of parents, or you have parents allegedly of kids that died, and they sued Alex Jones, although he never named anybody. And the Texas courts actually don't allow for lawsuits in this magnitude, because the largest lawsuit you can have in Texas is $5 million. And so they slapped a 45 or a $50 million lawsuit on him for damages for saying that he doesn't believe the official story. Shut people up. And I brought Bianchi in, so welcome in, Bianchi.
Yeah, no matter however much it is, he's got insurance that would pay it. But when you got a judge that don't allow you to use certain words in your testimony, what kind of justice is that?
Yeah, and they told him that just because you believe it's the truth, that you're not allowed to say your truth. You're supposed to say the truth. And why?
So,
and it's like, well, why would I lie to you? I'm telling the truth. And the judge is like, yeah, but that's not our truth.
Yeah, and on the appeal, that's going to be kicked out.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The judge can't say we need him to be guilty and you need to find some charges. The judge is not allowed to say that. It's not the judge's job to decide the fate before the court even happens.
It's just supposed to show you how really bad things have evolved to.
Yes, everything is weaponized right now. And there were cameras everywhere in that Mar-a-Lago raid. And so those will be factored in, provided they're allowed to share evidence. So if there's any misdeeds going on in the FBI raid, it's caught on camera.
Well, you know, I don't know if it did happen, but I'm saying that this is the way it should be. If the FBI or any of these federal agents go to another space, they need to check in with the local sheriff or local authority and leave their guns there with the local sheriff. Why you need to have guns? The local authorities already have guns, and they're there to maintain the peace.
Well, the whole world knows that this is just political, and this has never happened before, where the current president goes after the former president because he's afraid that the guy will run against him again. And I doubt for a second that Brandon actually wanted the raid. I think it was just Barry Satoru and his husband, Michael Robinson Obama, who I feel is a very nice lady, and his crew that demanded this happen.
Well, I would agree with you. I don't think Brandon knew what the hell was going on. I think if he ever was to tell the truth, like his press secretary said, that he found out on the news.
Yes, and if you look at him while he was being told, he started laughing.
Yes. It sounded like something out of a playbook. On the other hand, now you got people talking about the United States should come to the aid of Taiwan if they was invaded by China. Well, let's look at this real quick. Mainland China to Taiwan is about 100 miles. What in the heck could the United States do? And if that was an agreement, then what comes into detail? That Taiwan would permit missiles to be put on this soil pointed toward China? You know China is not going to allow that. And what kind of missile would you have? It would be basically a javelin. Hell, you can't lob them. I mean, you're right there. I think we need to leave that alone. And, you know, here's another point. With a approaching $40 trillion debt, can the United States afford to go into a war?
Well, like I was saying, they want war with three different nations at the same time. They want a war with Russia, a war with China, and a war against America all at the same time.
Yeah.
So
that'd be
about like as we know it wants to go out guns blazing, it sounds like.
Yeah, that'd be like St. Bernardino seceding then saying to China or Russia, we want you to come protect us, or even Mexico, putting missiles, letting China or Russia put missiles in Russia. I mean, in Mexico. That wouldn't work out too well. We wouldn't stand for it. I don't know who's behind all these ideas, but I tell you, this is getting to be better than an old Agatha Christie mystery story. So
yeah,
there you are.
I don't know at what magnitude there will be when people start fighting back. And I don't know if it's going to take audits and the IRS being weaponized into a military. I don't know what's going to happen here. But
IRS agents shouldn't be allowed to have any guns.
I know that will be coming to a head here pretty soon.
IRS agents shouldn't be having guns. If an IRS agent showed up at your door and announced himself, you don't have to let them in. You don't even have to talk to them. So what are they going to have weapons for? Hell, when you go to an IRS office in your downtown, you got to go through metal detectors and everything. So the people in the office are going to be having guns? This is a bunch of bull crap. I mean, think about it. What the hell do you need to have guns for? And most of your correspondence is by mail sending letters out. What are you going to do, walk up into somebody's house and say, let's sit down, I want to audit you? Nobody's going to fall for that crazy mess. You're going to go into a corporate office, you're going to feel that you're going to have weapons? Nobody's going to believe that mess.
No, I think they're expecting to walk you out of your house at gunpoint.
Yeah, right. Hell, if you go to a corporation, corporations has accountants. Those are the ones that's supposed to answer to any discrepancies to any filing. The accountants. So this whole stuff about arming 87,000 agents, that's a bunch of bullcrap. It's some more bamboozlement that's being portrayed upon the American people.
So
and
that's
sadly enough,
I was thinking about, Bianchi, you brought that up. So if I have an official tax attorney and someone knocks on the door, we just send them to the tax attorney. We don't have to talk to them, I'm assuming.
Because well, they should know that already.
Taxes, what's that?
That information is on the return. That's who they're supposed to – they're supposed to send a letter out to the filer to get permission to talk to the attorney, the accountants.
Yeah,
that's
well,
how they usually work.
Maybe they're going to have new rules now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. But I tell you one thing, this stinks. And I hope American public don't fall for it. You know, that's another point, too. We put too much concentration on the politicians rather than the electorate. The electorate is dumb, and these politicians lie. And when they get into positions, they just say the things that they need to say in order to woo their electorate over. And that's what you see. If you got a dumb electorate, you're going to allow yourself to vote for politicians that's corrupt and that's dubious and trying to get over. That's exactly what they do. Only you can control them and reel them in and kick their asses out.
Yeah, well, that's why they don't like Trump, because Trump didn't do any of that.
Can you imagine going to a Schumer and telling him that we want you to do this rather than what you're doing? He would laugh at you. I'm
right.
Going to get elected anyway. What I got to listen to you for? So
well,
until people, he's terrible. He's a right down right Neanderthal. Nadler, I can't stand him in that damn Adam Schiff.
But well,
I hope
most of them are going to keep their jobs though.
Yeah, I hope these people wake up, man. I really do, because yeah, we facing some times now. You never would have ever thought would have developed the way it has. But all the warning signs was there, though, proof. Warning signs have been there for the last two or three decades. We just didn't pay any attention to them. And we just was nice and accommodating. And it all came upon now where it is. Anyway, I'm going to fall back. I understand you got a guest coming on.
We got about 10 minutes at least. Your choice.
Yeah, this stuff with China So you don't want to be go. United States is not in no position to be going into any wars. You're going to be warring against China. You got Russia. You got the American people, like you mentioned. You got North Korea. That stuff is not going to go well. Then you got a war with your own fiscal debt. 30,000 approaching, if not already, $40 trillion. 30 trillion approaching 40 trillion. How the hell are you going to pay that off?
Yeah, I want to know how this inflation reduction bill by hiring 87,000 IRS agents is going to reduce debt.
You ever calculate what that's going to cost? What are you paying an agent, about $80,000 a year?
They would have to be more expensive than normal because they're not going to work for $17 an hour.
Hell, you multiply that. Is it going to be worth it? I think they want to go after the cryptocurrency myself.
I think they're going after PayPal and those kind of transactions. But more than they're targeting that, and they're not going to even hide it. If you were somebody that voted for Joe Jorgensen of the Libertarian Party or Trump, that your name is automatically in the audit list.
Oh, so they're trying to scare you.
Yeah.
They go into that great expense to scare the hell out of people so they never again vote for a conservative president, huh?
Well, but then again, if they can halt elections... Remember that they put in a couple of bills that they want to ban the Republican Party.
But these people must have mental problems. This is not no tactics that we're looking at. These people have mental problems.
Well, if you're not a good candidate, Bianchi, you have to stifle your opponent somehow to win. Instead of becoming better than them, they have to shut up the other side. They should just learn how to become better candidates, but they can't do that.
Well, their policies are lousy, and now that they're bringing in so many of these illegals coming from south of the border down in South America where they have been exposed to socialism all their life, they think it's natural. What a better way to start off the United States. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that. I don't know if they're waiting for before the midterms or after. I don't know what they want to do.
Oh, well, the next thing that's going to be coming down is a lockdown because of the monkeypox.
Yeah, or for climate change. They've already talked about that.
Yeah, they may close the polls because the temperature is too hot. So you got to do a mail-in ballot.
Right. And only Democrats will be there to count the votes. So Ruby Freeman is already in the building in Georgia waiting for the election.
Yeah, these scenarios sound far-fetched, but I tell you what, they may be in the plan already. Look, I'm going to bag out, let you get ready for your guests.
Thank you, sir.
The opportunity.
You got it. So, Amanda, you have anything before we get to a break?
No, that was just an interesting conversation. I was taking some mental notes. So let's hit that break.
No, we got like 5 minutes or so before the break.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just caught up a little bit on some of the drama and politics local to me. So they're looking to recount ballots here in my county to see if there was voter fraud, and they just proved someone who ran for governor of Utah several years ago that he had used his nonprofit to pay himself over $3 million. And so it's so corrupt. Everything's so corrupted. It's, you know, as your caller said, it's just like everything has become corrupted. And what do you do with that?
Oh. All right, let's see what else we have here. So, Ilhan Omar won her primary today in Minnesota. Wow. Just barely, it sounds like.
Is she a viable candidate? Is she a bought sold? Or is
you don't know who
Ilhan
Omar is? Are you serious?
No, I don't.
Oh, she's part of the squad with AOC. She's the Muslim that married her brother for citizenship.
Oh, yes. Okay. I know who you're talking about now. Okay. So they're all in they're all in the same bed, as we would say. They're in bed together. I see. Great. They're all from the conspiracy around bloodlines comes in. You see it played out right in front of your eyes. So I had no idea that was happening in Minnesota.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of various people stating that the feds may have planted evidence at Mar-a-Lago. Then it's all on video, so it'll come out.
And what was the initial reasoning for that raid?
Oh, they said that that Trump had documents that were exclusive to the White House.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which isn't really the case, but they're just making up stuff just to get in the news.
Yeah, that makes sense. And from what I understand, the judge who signed off on that raid, that quote unquote search warrant, is also involved with the Epstein case. Is that correct?
Yes, he was Epstein's attorney.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, and a family friend for about 50 years.
And that's what gives lawyers that a bad name, a bad reputation. So like that.
So something else that is in the news here. So Democrats, as far as these bills are going, Democrats cut senior citizens' prescription drug benefits ahead of the midterms. That's part of the Inflation Reduction Act, is to make sure that Medicare is cut. But the Democrats don't care. The seniors that are going to experience this will vote for Brandon anyway, because that's what they do.
Right.
And by the way, part of the Inflation Reduction Act was to get rid of a millionaire's tax.
Oh, yeah, that seems like a good idea. Oh, the elite, they're at it again, right in plain sight.
Yeah, so tax the rich, but we're also going to make sure that the tax that the 1% are paying less in tax. That sounds almost fair.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's do this.
But,
let's grab our time out. Our guest Ginger is ready here, so let's grab our break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll have our special guest up here, so stay tuned, everyone.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
now. Everything's gotten so expensive. I'm gonna starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you going to sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
Huh?
You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California. No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors. This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you go.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what, why wouldn't you do... Why wouldn't you do...
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Okay. One more time. This is your foot. This is shoes. This is your foot in shoes.
I can't move.
Any questions?
A little help.
This public service announcement brought to you by Zero Shoes. Feel the freedom, feel the fun, feel the world in Zero Shoes.
Hello to all your nincompoops and something that cares out there. I am the Wiretap. I am here to represent Weizsäcker Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all your 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in the Wuhan laboratory, but you're not dying fast enough. So we now have Weizsäcker suicide pods. You can now rush out and die in our suicide pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, gray or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum, and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your ashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne Compute. We will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Weizsäcker suicide pod. Thank you.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
Proof Negative radio show brought to you by Margie.com, where it is home of the 1 cent daily deals. Marty, good deals, great deals, good feels. Anyway, Amanda's here, and we're also joined right now by a special guest who wants to be known as Ginger. He became famous for some special Trump statues. So I wanted to bring him in here. Welcome in, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, I'm adequate here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hmm.
So we met under some strange terms, but hey, that's okay. That happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I run across a lot of different people in my profession, and I definitely enjoyed our encounter. It was definitely quite an experience.
All right, so the Trump statues in question, this was not your first run as far as making statues like this. How did you get started?
Well, it was actually my first venture into statues or street art.
Was it? Okay.
My previous experience, though, was actually special effects and haunted houses.
Yeah.
I actually started a nonprofit charity organization run by Lions Club called Bloodview Haunted House, and learned how to do special effects makeup and improv horror acting. And, fell in love with everything about it. I've always been a Halloween fanatic and wanted to be the guy making the monsters and even be under the monster makeup. So I learned as much as I could. I went to conventions and learned from speakers and picked up as much knowledge as I could. And eventually after, several years, I then became a speaker at said conventions, teaching acting techniques, making makeup techniques and things of that nature. And I started traveling around the country as a traveling actor, going to haunted houses during the month of October, teaching, all my seminars and stuff like that to the people there. And then I would work at the haunted house for that weekend. I ended up going down to Netherworld in Atlanta, Georgia, and worked at the number one haunted house in the nation at the time, called actually on the Travel Channel every October when they show Netherworld, I'm all over it, doing makeup and acting and scaring people. But then eventually I got to be a speaker at Transworld, which is the world's largest Halloween convention, and that's where I was hired by Eli Roth to be the director of the Goratorium, which was a year-round haunted house on the Las Vegas Strip. So I moved across the country, and I've been in Las Vegas for the last 10 years. That's what got me out here. That haunted house was quite an amazing experience. I got to meet a lot of people, learn a lot of different things, and experience the entertainment industry here in Las Vegas, which is quite a special market, let me tell you. So we don't have a lot of grass here in this city, but there's definitely a lot of snakes in those grass, in those patches of grass. So I got a great education in a lot of things, but that haunted house only lasted like 1 year. So after it closed down, I decided I have degrees in environmental technology, which is a fancy way of saying HVAC, air conditioning. So Las Vegas is a great city for air conditioning. So I've been here for the last 10 years, sweating my butt off, making sure people are cool. And I really was jaded because of my experiences. Oh, sorry, I almost forgot. I was almost on a TV show called Face Off on the Sci-Fi Channel, where they make monsters each week, and it's an elimination-type competition. And, I was almost on season 4, didn't quite make it, and they were kind of asking me to really try out for season 5, but I didn't like the experience, so I chose not to do it. And, so I've had a lot of haunted house makeup art. I've done a couple music videos. I did a music video for Busta Rhymes. Did a bunch of other stuff. But after the Goratorium, I was really jaded. Didn't want to do any more art. Didn't want to do any more special effects, nothing like that. So 2 or 3 years later, I was approached by this gentleman named Armando, who actually makes the angel wings for Victoria's Secret. And he asked me to do some head casts for him because he knew I was really good at that, and I'm really good at keeping models calm. And that's a really hard process to undertake, because if you're claustrophobic or anything like that, it could be very challenging. But I'm real good at keeping them calm and explaining what's going on. But that kick-started my art and my passion again. And then shortly after that, I was approached by this group called In Decline, which is, I could have some choice words for these guys. I didn't really know who they were or what they represented or anything before. They approached me and said, hey, we want to have these statues made, and we hear that you can do it. And I talked to them, and I told them at the time, you know, I was going to vote for Trump because I could never vote for Hillary. Because I have my own personal beliefs on who they are, you know, both husband and wife, and daughter, you know. But I told them, I said, this is kind of where I'm leaning. And if it's not about my politics or your politics, you just want the statue to come out and do your thing. And I negotiated a deal with them, a 60-40 deal, but I, being a type of person I am, took a handshake and a word at, you know, being something valuable. But they, of course, took the opportunity. They ended up screwing me. I'll tell that part later. So I spent about 4 months sculpting those naked Donald Trump statues. You know, I'd do air conditioning 6 days a week, like 13, 14-hour days, and then coming home and working on this giant life-size sculpture, you know, which was a learning process for me because I'd never done anything to that scale. And, you know, I worked my ass off. And finally, it was being filmed the whole time, so there's videos of it all on YouTube and everything like that. When it finally went out, a friend of mine, Ryder Reynolds, from Cleveland, he put music to the 3-minute video, and what was really cool was he sampled Jimi Hendrix's Star Spangled Banner. And what was really weird and universal, kind of coinkydink, was the day that the statues went out was actually the anniversary of when Jimi Hendrix played at Woodstock. So,
really?
It was a weird, it was a really weird thing. There's a lot of weird things that happened throughout the whole time. I made 5 copies for the original stunt. And then those guys shipped them out, and each city had, like, 2 crews, one that would wear hard hats and, like, vests, and they, like, physically glued the statues down to the concrete. And then there was another crew that was, like, filming, which that footage is also available on YouTube. And they all went up at the same exact time, which is, luckily, it was kind of a slow news cycle. So it was a pretty big hit. It went viral. Everybody, you know, I found, like, articles about it from, like, Zimbabwe, you know, all around the world. It was it definitely went viral. And that catapulted the whole story. And actually, I think Joe Rogan was talking about it, like, 2-3 weeks ago, which is kind of funny this long afterwards. But, you know, it definitely made a weird impact on pop culture. And since then, I've done a couple of other statues. I've collaborated with this other artist named Plastic Jesus. He's a famous street artist known for doing the tag "Stop Making Stupid People Famous." After the Trump statues sold at Julian's auction in L.A., he approached me at the auction and wanted to collaborate on these life-size Oscar statues that had social commentary to them. The first one we did was a crucified Kanye West called False Idol. He had a crown of thorns and 9-inch nails in his palms and a pair of Yeezys on his feet. So, you know, and there's actually a documentary about us on Amazon Prime. A couple years afterwards, we did a Harvey Weinstein casting couch and put it up on Hollywood Boulevard during the Oscars. And he's, you know, sitting on a chaise lounge with a bathrobe that's kind of open, and he's holding an Oscar in a very suggestive manner. And it's an interactive piece. You can actually sit on the couch and, you know, take selfies. And, you know, the documentary is called For Your Consideration. But, yeah, it's, you know, once in a while I'll, you know, invest the time and, you know, put my skills towards, you know, kind of punching upwards at all these people that kind of deserve it. Mind you, I don't want everybody to think that I'm just left-wing or liberal or anything like that. I'm independent. I I'm anti-big government. I'm anti-big brother. It's, you know, two wings of the same bird, two sides of the same coin. And they've got everybody fighting and arguing instead of paying attention to what they should be paying attention to. And that's why I don't subscribe to...
If I can jump in here after this Mar-a-Lago raid, I don't know how many times that I could go to the well and say that Trump is part of them. I just don't think so.
My personal opinion, I think this is like he even said, it's unprecedented. You know, they've all the whole situation from beginning to end, from you know his whole presidency. Because to be honest with you, my personal opinion, I thought it was rigged for Hillary, and that him running was just a ploy, a little show. And to make it look like, you know, somebody was up there, but it was going to be rigged for Hillary, and there was no way he was going to win. But he won. So the whole political system, left, right, they're all crooks. They're all criminals. And, like, Pelosi, all those people, they should be arrested for insider trading. Thousands and thousands of crimes across the board, but none of them get arrested. And the fact that they actually went after him, this is unprecedented. I'm actually shocked, surprised. I'm, you know, kind of like on the edge of my seat eating popcorn, waiting to see what the hell happens next.
Well, we saw what happens next. They hire 87,000 IRS agents and put out job descriptions stating that you must be open and warm to using deadly force against people.
Hmm. Yeah, the fact that the IRS carries guns is concerning. That's been just an old story. I don't like big government in any way, shape, or form. So I'm not an anarchist by any means.
They can take an agency and weaponize it. Yeah, that's not a good day at the office.
No. Like I said, they've never done anything like this because there's been presidents like going back since Nixon and that should have been prosecuted and had things done, but they. You know, the good old boys, everybody lets things slide. Nobody gets prosecuted. You know, nobody's being prosecuted yet, but, you know, they're definitely up on stage singing and dancing, and there's a lot going on that production. It's interesting to see.
Yeah, so Ginger is our guest. So Amanda is just down the road in St. George.
That's
Amanda,
true.
That's you. Oh, there you are.
Yes, I'm here.
Wanted to make sure you got a word in here edgewise. I don't want you doing something else. I want you to hit some softballs here, too.
Ooh, hitting softballs, not my specialty, though, any sport. But definitely listening in on the conversation. And
so I sent
you, know,
taking... the Wikipedia for this.
I will pull it up.
So you could see the statue and his name is there and all that good stuff.
How have I not seen this before? That's quite hilarious.
Were you living under a rock or in a cave?
Yeah, good question. I am so surprised I've never seen this before. That is amazing.
No, thank you. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the Google search history that I had to pull up to use as reference material for some of that sculpting.
I bet. I bet.
Yeah, stuff like this wouldn't last too long in St. George, Utah.
Oh,
No. So the cities that we put them up in were New York, Cleveland, L.A., San Francisco, and Seattle. And I don't know if you can notice, but one of those things is not like the others. You know, Cleveland is predominantly, you know, a Republican area. You know, they vote for the red. But that's my hometown. And I definitely wanted to represent C-Town. So we put it up in a very fun area called Coventry. Very, very laid-back, fun. It is in front of this old toy store called Big Fun, which is no longer there. But they all dropped at the same exact time. And that was the big trigger for a lot of people. And, you know, Cleveland, growing up in Cleveland, I've seen a lot of different sides of everything. So that's why I tend to be very independent. I don't go, you know, I'm this, I'm that. I'm not registered to any party or anything.
Well, if it means anything, your Guardians won again today.
Ah, good, good. That's good to hear. You know, like I said, I am a Cleveland boy, so I'm I don't know. I think I'm pretty American. So the
If you haven't paid attention the last few days, the Guardians are back in first place, tied with the Twins. And if the Twins lose to the Dodgers today, then they're in first place all by themselves.
Oh, good. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, again, I do air conditioning, and we're kind of in a middle of a swampy monsoon season here in Las Vegas, so I've been extra busy. And actually, all summer, it's been pretty hot, so I've been working my butt off, and that's kind of how we met. I came and fixed your air conditioner.
Yeah, I was just going to tell Amanda that. And the audience.
Yeah.
Very gratuitous. I'm sure that working on air conditioning all day in the Las Vegas heat is a bit taxing on your system. Do you go home and just crash and then spend the weekend doing magnificent art pieces?
No, I'm actually the father of two. So I come home and do my dad thing, and then, you know, once the little ones are put to bed, I'm one of those high functioning people that can only, you know, that can function on like 3 to 4 hours of sleep. So it's not very uncommon to see me at 2-3 in the morning, you know, just scalping away with either a horror movie or some heavy metal, you know, blasting in my So I'm definitely a night owl.
You spoke the magic words, heavy metal and 3 a.m.
Oh yeah.
That's me.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, are you familiar with the band Mushroomhead?
Yes. Well,
helped make their first X mask.
Very nice.
So
I'm going to have to look at it.
Yeah, the black and white X, you know, Mushroomhead mask. I was the apprentice on that. The guy that I helped, David Greathouse, he and I were the ones that were competing for that slot on season 4 of Faith Off. They chose to give it to him because he just had a lot more documented work than me. I had actually learned a lot more when I was down in Atlanta that hadn't been, you know, presented to them in my audition tape. So I'm grateful. You know, everything has God has a plan, and everything works for a reason. So, you know, instead of being on Face Off, I was a director of a show on the Las Vegas Strip, which, you know, really, you know, one outweighs the other, in my opinion. And then,
right, and it's local, it's home. That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
So
Vegas is definitely
home.
I love this place. Yeah.
Speaking of metal, I was thinking when I heard your name was Ginger. Do you know the band Ginger?
Yeah. Yes, I've heard of them. Yes, I've had many links posted on my Facebook page, and yes, and the movie Ginger Snaps, and so the name Ginger comes from the fact that I'm a redhead. You know, So people try to use that as like a derogatory term, and I'm just like, fuck it, I'm a ginger. What are you going to do? You're not going to hurt my fucking feelings.
And you,
yeah.
That's right. You do have a soul.
Yeah.
I've got many
of them. Every freckle that we have on us is a stole that we've stolen from somebody else.
Yes, right. That's a good one.
But no, that's why I go by the term ginger, because I am, you know, I'm a carrot top. So,
very nice.
Yeah. And I'm very secure with who I am, and that's a very feminine name, but whatever. But there were several articles. So one of the funny things is there was, like, the Young Turks, TYT.
Uh-huh.
They did a bunch of videos and YouTube things on me and stuff like that. The whole time thought I was a girl. So they're saying, brilliant, and she's a great, she's this. And I'm just like, oh, you fucking idiot. Come on, guys. But, yeah, that's the risky run with a name like Ginger.
I approve. I think it's amazing. And even though the band Ginger. They spell it with J's instead of G's, and the lead singer is female. I never associated it with, like, a female presence, just saying. But, you know, pretty impressive that you can be out in the Las Vegas heat with your skin tone and be cool, and be fine.
I wear long sleeves. Yeah. Yep. But being from Cleveland, it's very dismal, dreary, lots of clouds. And, you know, just like Seattle and other places like that, you end up getting, like, light deprivation syndrome, you know, vitamin D, you know, deficiency, stuff like that. So even though I'm a pale redhead, I need the sunshine. It's good for my demeanor. Mm-hmm. It really is.
You mean dismal, like it's been the last 10 days here in Vegas mostly?
This is very reminiscent. I'm feeling at home and in a very uncomfortable way.
You know, all week, through the weekend, there's supposed to be at minimum a 25% chance of rain every day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is we've had like a legendary drought the last several years. Like my son, he's only 5. He really doesn't know what rain looks like. You know, so in HVAC, we've kind of had a little bit of a blessing. No condensate drain issues because there's no moisture in the air. No blockages have been sensed. But now that the rain's here, all the moisture's in the air, humidity levels are higher, those things are getting full plugged up, and then ceilings are falling in. So it's like the we're definitely getting the Montezuma's revenge because it's coming back with a fierce ferocity.
Nobody's talking
right
about
now.
How empty Lake Mead is anymore.
Yeah, well, it raised, what, 3 inches? Ooh, boy. But they're still finding more dead bodies.
Yeah. I don't think that was exactly a secret, though.
No, I mean, come on, this is Vegas. You get 86 here, you're, you know, 80 miles out, 6 feet deep. So that's common. And I'm surprised they don't have cinder blocks on their feet.
No, that is true. I've been waiting for that one to have cement shoes. So any new projects you're working on?
Not really. No, I've been focusing on my career and my family. You know, just doing heating and air conditioning, trying to make a living, you know, in this crazy recession. You know, this crazy economy that we got. So, you know, I haven't really had the time to put much time into art. And then, unfortunately, my brother died last year. And, you know, he's only 2 years older than me. He was also one of my biggest supporters and my best friend. So when he died, it really kind of sucked the artistic drive out of me. So, you know, the spark is still there, but it hasn't developed back into a flame. So I haven't done any art since he died. Oh, I'm sorry. I did a and this I think might have been what broke me. I was really good at doing life casting on people, you know, body mold, stuff like that. And I did one of my brother's hands, you know, post-mortem. You know, of his hands, like, you know, folded and holding each other. And I'm eventually going to do a sculpture, like it looks like it's chiseled out of stone and have some type of a biblical passage on it and give it to my nieces and my nephews and my mom. And, but just doing that, like, manipulating my brother's body, it really messed me up. So I think that's another reason why I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore at the moment. I know eventually I will. I actually want to build a guardian statue. You know, for those that don't know, the Guardians, the Cleveland Guardians, used to be the Cleveland Indians, but they're now named after these statues that are, on the four pillars of a bridge right outside of Cleveland's baseball stadium. They're called the Guardians of Transportation. And, you know, one's holding, like, a train, one's holding, like, a wagon, one's holding a truck. So I want to do one holding a motorcycle because I ride motorcycles. It's a very Cleveland art piece to do, something I want to do just to kind of, you know, jump back into it and do something.
See, I thought someone might use a sled because of the snow in the winter.
A sled? Oh, yeah. For transportation. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, out here you would use a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But I still despise that Cleveland Guardians name, but if they finish in first place, I'll congratulate them, I guess. But
Well, you know about the curse, obviously.
What's that?
Being as deep into baseball as you are, you obviously know about the curse that was put on the Indians. So now that they've gotten rid of the Indians, the logo, and everything like that, the curse should be lifted, and now they should be able to win a World Series. If you believe in curses.
They're challenging fate, though. They decided to, in the free agency season before the season started, the only thing they purchased was a backup catcher who doesn't hit any better than the starting catcher.
Mm.
And then for the trade deadline, they did zero.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me.
So they're trying not to win, but they're winning by accident.
Oh, a win is a win. Take what we can get.
And allegedly, yeah, the Cleveland Guardians team, as far as an age goes, is not just the youngest team in Major League Baseball. They are actually younger than every single other team in AAA baseball. So the top minor leagues, they're also younger than all 32 top minor league teams. So they are pretty young.
Well, that's hopeful. But, you know, I've been a long-time Cleveland fan, so I've learned a long time ago, even with cardiac kids, don't get your hopes up. Enjoy the moment, but don't invest any money on a bet, a long-term bet on any of them except for maybe Ohio State. It's the only ones I would ever put money on.
Yeah, I don't think the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to do anything.
Well, yeah, like I said, I'm not a big sports fan. I'm just enough of a sports fan because it's a regional thing for me. Always been the guy that would rather go to a sports event than watch it. When I was back in Cleveland for my brother's funeral, I was blessed to be able to actually take my dad to the last Indians game that I could, because that was the last season that they were still called the Indians. So he took me to my first one and hundreds, you know, thereafter. So I was pretty blessed to be able to say, hey, Dad, we're going to an Indians game. I'm taking you to your last, quote-unquote, Indians game. So that was pretty cool.
And just because I know how to make money on sports collectibles doesn't mean I'm like a diehard. I just check the scores three or four times a week and see where the stats are, and I just look to see if there's any minor league prospects I need to invest in. Anytime I could turn a quarter into $8, I'm happy.
Hmm. Well, let me know how much an Albert Bell rookie card will be. I'm sure it'll be pricey. But if you can find one of those, let me know.
Oh, if I would have known that, I'd have just given you one.
No. I'll buy it. No.
What
business
is it, like
business,
a dollar?
Sir.
Anything less than a dollar, really? I don't sell. It's just you can have it.
Well, let me know, because he was my favorite. That whole era in like the 94, 95, where they were battling with the Braves, that was fun.
Yeah, I remember the 1991 Albert Bells. Was it 90 or 91? I forget. But anyway, they're not. Maybe the Leaf might be the most expensive, but they're not all that.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I can't put together a package at some point and just get all the top rookies like Jose Ramirez and all that.
Dad, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
I would. Like, I took the one – you gave me a little stack of Cleveland Indians cards when I was there the other day, and, you know, I told my son these are yours, but I'm keeping them for you. Well, I've got them stacked aside so he's not, like, you know, destroying them, chewing on them, and throwing them at the cats.
Yeah, I started when I was five, so I take that back. My dad bought me my first pack of cards right before I turned four. And these were the packs that they were called rack packs, where you could see three cards on top and three cards on bottom. And my dad in 1976 bought me a pack that had a Hank Aaron on the top, and he said, don't ever lose this card. This is going to be very valuable. So believe it or not, I still have that card. You don't want to know how beat up it is, but I still have it.
I believe it. So I like, you know, see a lot of guys, that's a lot of guys have that me and my dad stories, you know, and it's like, and that story tends to be a large part of who they are because it meant so much to them. For me, it was all about horror because when I was 4 years old, my Uncle Frank took me and my six-year-old brother, and, you know, it was the early 80s. We were all over at my aunt and uncle's house, and my mom, dad, and everybody else, they all wanted to party, you know, so my Uncle Frank, he partied too, but he was an electrical engineer, so he didn't party as much as them. So he took us in the other room, and he put on Poltergeist. This is, mind you, my first horror movie, and Poltergeist is a pretty intense one. And he's, you know, my Uncle Frank is a very smart guy, very intelligent, very articulate, well-spoken, and just a ball buster. He, my Aunt Loretta had a huge clown fetish. She had clowns everywhere, little clowns sitting on porcelain dice, doily clowns hanging from the ceiling, you know, and my Uncle Frank had already seen the movie, so he took every clown that was in the room and he stuffed them under the bed. So at the end of the movie, you know, when the clown pulls the little boy under the bed and stuff like that, and, you know, very traumatizing type shit for a four-year-old to see, movie ends, goes to static, my Uncle Frank turns on the light, looks at us, goes, what do you think of the movie, boys? And we were like, oh, it was good. And he goes, hey, what happened to all the clowns? Because we knew there were clowns everywhere. So we looked around, looked at each other. He goes, good night, boys. And he turned off the lights and walked out, partied, knowing damn well we weren't getting off that bed for the rest of the night. So that was my introduction to horror and my twisted sense of humor, like why I was always the guy standing around the corner just waiting. Like 5 minutes, I would wait around the corner for somebody so I could scare them. You know, I just loved that the Halloween and horror movies and monsters. So that's where, you know, once I found the haunted houses at 19, it was game over. That definitely brought me to where I am now.
So Amanda, were you part of that horror film clique also?
Oh, did I watch it? Yes.
Yeah.
I was into horror films. Yeah. So that was a, since Alien was my first horror flick as a child, and it scared the shit out of me, and I didn't sleep for 2 weeks, and that's, you know,
yeah,
for sure
that was my wife's,
what's that?
That was my wife's first horror movie, and that definitely affected her, so she loves that movie. You know, I love any horror movie, like the 80s horror, you know, had actually, you know, practical effects, guys in suits being pulled by wires and pulleys and cables and actually in-camera effects that, you know, are still mind-blowing to this day, like the movie It, or I'm sorry, The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. Those effects by Rob Bottin were, you know, they just messed me up. But it was my second horror movie experience was just a few weeks later. You know, my stepdad comes home, and he's got these two VHS tapes, and he goes, this movie scared the shit out of me when I went to see it in the theater. So my instant thinking was, oh, it scared him. It's got to be good. Went in the kitchen, got a chair, got as close to the TV as I could. And, you know, I wanted to see everything. Cause to me, it was like, it was a survival guide. Like if zombies ever came, I was the guy to talk to. Because I knew every zombie lore or vampire lore or werewolf, you know. So I wanted to learn it all in case shit went down. So he puts in Nightmare on Elm Street, which that's still to this day one of my favorite horror movies. And then after that, they put in Salem's Lot. And I'm the only one that's still awake at the end of Salem's Lot because that's a long, like, three-and-a-half-hour movie or miniseries. So when that movie ends, you know, VHS tapes would roll all the way to the end, and then it would go to that snowy static, just like at the end of Poltergeist, where the people pulled Carol Ann through. So I'm sitting there terrified in a chair by myself. I look back, and everybody's asleep. You know, my dad, my brothers, my sister, they're all just passed out. So I had to get up the courage to get out of my chair and run up and dive behind my stepfather where I was safe. So those were the things that made me, like, just absolutely love horror movies, you know, anything to do with it.
Did you ever read the book? It's a Stephen King because, you know, Stephen King was the horror novelist.
I'm actually wearing a t-shirt that says Stephen King Rules.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
And that's from Monster Squad. There was a movie called Monster Squad where, like, the type universal, quote-unquote, monsters came down and this group of young kids were the ones that defeated them. Yeah, Monster Squad. Oh. If you've never seen it, you've got to check it out.
Okay, I have not seen it. I'll check it out. I was a huge Stephen King fan, and, you know, having this horror film sort of desire, I started getting into the books. I read all of Anne Rice's books, even though they weren't very scary in comparison to Stephen King. But I read some of his books with his first name, and now it's escaped me. Oh, he had a couple of books with another author name, and I can't remember. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I read all my childhood teen years.
I fell in love with him when I found out he was the one that wrote Silver Bullet. Like, I just have an obsession. Oh, I love werewolves. And that, to this day, is still one of my favorite werewolf movies. Not because of the effects or anything like that. Just the story is just outstanding. Love it.
It
but
is. I agree.
I was known. I was really known for doing these werewolf bodysuits. You just get into it and zip up the back. You put this big, you know, head on that has like a fiberglass underskull structure, so that the jaw could be articulated. You know, the actor just has to push his jaw down into like a little cup, like a football helmet chin guard. And he pushes his jaw down, and the jaw of the mask would open, and then there was elastic bands that would help it to recoil and close back up. And did I show any of the photos of my art when I was there to work on your air conditioner?
I saw some face sculptures that you did.
Yeah. So, I was known for werewolves. I did several different variations of them, and you know, I thought, like, I always thought that I was going to become popular, famous, whatever. I don't consider myself famous by any means. But
were
like,
they
I would,
from London?
You know, no, well, they went there. Actually, one of my Trump statues is in Amsterdam at the moment without my permission.
Well, I was just trying to be funny with werewolves of London.
I know. But, yeah, I didn't get to tell you, the guys from In Decline, the ones that hired me to initially do those Trump statues. So come to find out afterwards that they were the guys behind bumfights.com. You remember that?
Oh, I remember that. They're also
very classy.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's where they found me, but very classy guys. Very classy guys. Facetious there much. we had a deal, and they ended up ripping me off, stealing three of the statues, and then paying another artist to make a mold of them so that they could sell them off at like $2,000 a pop and cutting me out of any rights or deals that we had made. And that's how one of the statues ended up in Amsterdam.
But they didn't know that you did the statues?
No, they're the ones who hired me to do them, and we had a 60-40 deal, and they didn't want to pay me my 60%. So he just got greedy, and he found any opportunity he could to cut me out. He had three of my statues that he never paid me for, and then he took one and paid another artist to make a mold of it. So they hijacked the statue, cut me out of the deal, and did a whole bunch of other crap with it, including like painting one up like John Wayne Gacy, and you know, several other stunts with my art. Now I was involved when we put one up at Life Is Beautiful, which that was interesting.
I still have never gone to that.
I got free passes one time, went to it. It was not my scene. Like I said, I'm more into
metal. I went to Coachella
like metal
a few times. I didn't mind that. Coachella's nice.
Mm. No, definitely. You know, good bands play there, and that's definitely a fun experience that I've never had. But that's never been my scene. I've always been the homebody type. Like I'd rather just relax at home and chill than go to like too many shows. But I did. I'm not going to lie, I just this morning bought tickets to October 10th showing of GWAR, which I don't know if
Gwar?
You know who Gwar is. Yeah.
Hey, I watched almost every Beavis and Butthead back in the day. I know who Gwar is.
Yeah. I'm a fan of their stuff. And it's just the theatrics. They're a bunch of like art school dropouts that do like amazing stuff, and you know, very comical, and you know, just a F you, don't give a shit attitude. So their shows is where it's, you know, the magic happens. So I've gotten to meet them several times, hang out backstage with them before, and you know, unfortunately they're not doing any backstage stuff because of, you know, current events. So
they're worried about getting money pox?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's them or if it's you know, the corporate overlords that aren't letting it occur. Yeah, but no, I'm looking forward to that. Definitely been a metalhead my whole life. Although Roger Waters from Pink Floyd used images of my Trump statue without my permission. I found out
okay?
from a huh?
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's Roger Waters. I wasn't upset about
sure
it.
Which
just
direction you were going on that, so I had to ask.
Yeah, well, they thought I was ready to, like, sue. You know, I found out from this awesome photographer that works for Getty Images.
Yes.
And, you know, those guys, very strict about artists getting recognized for their work, which, you know, God bless them. I've actually been on his podcast before, too. He informed me that he used several images of my statue. And he asked if he got my permission. I was like, no, but fucking thanks for telling me. When I told my dad, he actually cried. So I was like, yes, my dad's finally proud of me. but he gave me the email address of his touring manager, and I sent him a message like, hey, I guess you guys used my shit without my permission. What's up? And they're like, here's some backstage passes. We'll talk to you when we're in Vegas. So they gave me two backstage passes with the free beer and everything else. And when the manager, like, walked in, he gave me a wave and he walked right out. Like, got him, sucker. And I was okay with it. I was okay with saying Roger Waters used my art. And then, you know, I got free passes out of it and got drunk on their dime. So it was a good night.
Yeah, you could have just said, "Hey, all I want is an autograph, and I'm good." I was debating on Life is Beautiful for this year. There's a group that I like that's coming this year called Wet Leg, but I think I'm not going. I just don't like the venue. Like Coachella's cool because there's six different stages. It's a polo grounds. It's grass. You can either go under a tent or you could sit in the grass, but here it's just not the same experience. It's a concrete jungle.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy the experience. You know, I got to see like two bands that I was like mildly intrigued to see. Nobody that I was like, you know, get out of my way. I got to fucking see these guys. So,
what bands did you see?
Oh God, what is it? I am so horrible with names. They're very popular there for a little bit, and all their songs sound the same. They use, like, the mandolin.
Let's see, Judah and the Whale?
No, but you're close. It'll come to me eventually. We're not talking anymore.
Okay. I'm really good with music. I even have a different syndicated music show, so... I'm really good if you can pull something out of a hat.
What was that main band we went to see at Life is Beautiful?
Mumford and Sons?
Mumford and Sons. There it is.
Oh, all right.
That was the only one that had, like I said, slight intrigue. Nothing like, oh, my God, get out of my way. I got to see them. So
I
it was
them
the novelty.
I'm kind of over them because a lot of their stuff sounds the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. They're all, everything's monotone almost. Same exact shit.
Yeah.
So, like, at the time, they were the flavor.
The same way to me.
Yeah. But that was, like I said, it was an experience. I said, yeah, we went to it. I was not impressed. I don't really see myself going back.
Hmm.
Although, Now, I personally try to avoid places like that just because, you know, too many people, it gets too people-y, you know. I just don't want to sit there and elbow, you know, deep in a crowd and, you know, and then I'm, you know, apparently, like, you ever seen the movie Running Man? You know, that's kind of, in my opinion, the exact same thing that happened at the country music festival on October 1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my theories about that for days because October 1st is actually my anniversary. Me and my wife were out on that day. So we were going to go down to the strip, but we decided, you know, being locals, we try to avoid that place like the fucking plague. So we went to Green Valley. And when we got out, that's when the chaos started happening. All the police scanners and all the other stuff tell a different story as to what they told, you know, nationally. So I don't like that whole situation.
Myself with a couple other people broke a lot of that story. So, we're nowhere close. And Joe Lombardo, he covered up a ton of stuff. And when you watched him talk, the FBI agents were behind him, and whenever he would say something that sounded like it was too close for comfort, he got back on track.
Yeah, he had a hand puppeteered very far up his ass. So that's why I'm definitely not...
In exchange, they let him think that he's about to be governor over Shitzak.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I said. Like, politics for me nowadays is just such a joke and such a shit show. And everybody they put up, it's like, you know, I really haven't seen anybody left, right, center, you know, that is worth a damn.
Hey, I would love to see Joey Gilbert become governor. I think he means business, and I've met him a few times. I like him.
I've met a few people that seem like they're decent people, but it seems like when everybody gets into that position, you know, everybody has a price. Everybody's soul gets bought.
I don't know. I think there might be 8 to 10 people that might be okay. Like, I am never going to see Marjorie Taylor Greene sell out, as an example.
No. I mean,
yeah, she's not.
That all depends
Ron
on your
DeSantis
point of view.
Would never sell out, in my opinion.
See, but I think it's funny if we could find every one of them has been sold out to somebody. Some lobbyist, some big money person. I think every one of them. Every one of them. It's a power grab. It's a money grab. I think that, you know, there's not a one of them. You know, everybody wants to say, Barry Sanders or, you know, all these other people. No, they're, you know,
he took Hillary money. There's no secret about that. But I don't think Ron Paul sold out to anybody.
You know what, Ron Paul? I think he sold out to himself. He was supposed to be the love revolution, and he talked like he wanted to hear people talk in their position, but he folded, and I think he took the money too. You know, like I said, I really have zero faith in any of them. And I'm cynical in that aspect, I know, but
yeah, I'd
just much
think
rather
you can't just go and say everybody sucks. You can't just put everybody in the same lump, I guess is what I'm saying. So I'm not opposed.
If they're in that pile of excrement that's called politics, then yeah, they're in that same lump. They're, you know, in my opinion, every one of them, you know, everybody says, you know,
I'm not going to be one of those people ever that never votes and then says that everybody's all the same.
See, I vote. That's like I said, I definitely use that power. That's one thing that the Trump-Hillary election really just, you know, emphasized, in my opinion. Because I could have swore to God I would have put money on it that was just the most rigged election ever for Hillary. And it was all a song and dance and a show because, you know, She's part of the Trilateral Commission. She's been in politics for so fucking long. She's in bed with everybody, literally and figuratively. It's, you know, it was like a lockup for me, in my opinion. But then when I seen how the American people came out and voted, and that's what they wanted, and it actually went to Trump, I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it, that the vote actually worked. Now, mind you, there's ways that they, you know, the gerrymandering and, you know, all the fucking electoral college bullshit, there's still ways that they play their games and do their stuff, but, you know, the votes actually were counted. The people's voice were heard at that time. And the Trump won.
Mm-hmm.
So, I vote. I'm a firm believer in voting. You know, a lot of people think that because I'm an artist or because I did those Trump statues that I have different views. Like, I'm pro Second Amendment. You know, I'm definitely for defending our rights. But I'm also, I have some things I'm liberal about, some things I'm conservative about. You know, I'm, women's bodies are their choice. Let them do what they want. But let me keep my guns and let me do what I want. Leave me the fuck alone. That's kind of my politics as far as I've gone. I've really veered away from a lot of all that and have been just focusing on making money, supporting my family, and, you know, trying to live the American, you know, quote unquote, the American dream.
No, I definitely
I find
understand.
Getting worked up about it.
We just got the 90-second buzzer, so life is going to go on with us outside the radio here in just a minute. Are there any websites or anything you want to ask or you want our listeners to check out?
No. I avoided all the exposure of social media and other stuff like that because I figure if people want to find me and, you know, talk to me or support me, they'll find me. So I didn't want to be, you know, a social media whore. So, no, just look me up if you want to look me up.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ginger, for joining us here. And thank you, Amanda, for being part of the three-hour extravaganza as well. We will be back tomorrow. Joanne Moretti and Kimo will be our guests tomorrow. So stick to that. Please support the other shows on the network. It is not just a negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Only you. Forest fires. And I am...